Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I can tell you this. January 22nd is a day that has lived in infamy ever since 1973. Of course, you hear that phrase, the day that lives in infamy. You think of Pearl Harbor. And, of course, that's certainly true. But Pearl Harbor nor World War II led to the kind of carnage that we have seen as a result of the passage of the Roe versus Wade argument at the U.S. Supreme Court. That was January 22nd. Of 1973, and since then, north of 60 million children have lost their lives to quote-unquote legal abortion. And so that's why Sanctity of Life Sunday just occurred, and Sanctity of Human Life Day, which the president released. I shared it on Facebook, released a proclamation, which was great, very strongly worded, and certainly appreciate that and everything that the Trump administration has done on the life issue. So today is it's a day that's you memorialize it. It's not an anniversary. You could use that term loosely. But you need to memorialize the fact that it's January 22nd. And even when you look back, I looked back earlier at some of the headlines of the day and some of the major papers, and some of them, it wasn't even the lead story. I mean, it was on the front page. It was above the fold, but it didn't have a kind of a World War II end of the year type heading to it. It was just like, hey, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned state abortion restrictions, so now it's legal throughout the land. But that was 47 years ago today. So just wanted to mention that. And then, of course, my good friend Steve Lewis, L.A. Capital Advisors, is in the house. We don't do this all that often, but whereas when we talk to David Fisher, he really comes at it from a precious metals angle and banking and understanding that side of it. Steve's forte is on the other end of that, which is the stock market, and has been a great friend and friend of the show for years, as well as he and his wife, Thea, are great friends of Gina Zen Mine.
It's an act.
It's an act. It's not really it's heartfelt.
Not really.
It's just to further whatever we can do for you.
We just like Gina.
Yeah, that you're probably not the first person that's ever said that.
I didn't even know you were still on. I mean, I'm on so much now. It's I had no idea you were even on.
And this is the way our relationship goes.
I went to the fundraiser. I sat there.
Saw the cookie crumbles.
I'm some kind of sponsor. I haven't even got my T-shirt yet or my shoes or my belt, my hat, that ugly tie on the wall.
Right.
I mean, and this easy, is what this easy, is. This easy. Is this is what I get.
Hey, Happy New Year. Good to see you. So glad you could come in today. Well, as a father of 12 kids, 10 by birth from your wife, 2 by adoption.
Is this Keith? What'd you say?
No, that's Evan.
Evan.
Keith's in Winston-Salem.
Okay. Both of you guys, edit that out.
Yeah, okay. So 12 kids, and obviously you love the Lord and pro-life, but when you think about the fact that we're 47 years on this side, and we're going to talk about stocks and what happened last year in the markets.
You're only 47.
And this year, no. 47 years ago today was Roe versus Wade.
I'm lying on the air.
I know, about my age, no. I'll be 54 next month. So from that perspective, I mean, how do you look at this? We got plenty of time to talk about the stock market, but let's talk about that first.
What?
Especially from a perspective, Roe versus Wade, 47 years ago, as a father with 12 kids.
Well, I think I'm just shocked that here we are on this end of it, a lot of years, and we have these little baby steps kind of working in our favor, right?
Yeah.
The Supreme Court supported the ultrasound law of Kentucky. I think that'll start, hopefully. You know, there's still some people. You've had some guests on here who are saying, "Ah, it's way not enough." There's
A
lot of churches still kind of believe in abortion because of all these other little things. But these little baby steps help. And I know when Trump will appoint another justice, if assuming he gets elected, or even if he doesn't get elected, one will be appointed to fill in for the Walking Dead person. What's it, Ginsburg?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, yes. Who I think Satan himself is keeping her alive.
Is that they've always asked the question, especially to the conservatives, Roe v. Wade precedent law. And I don't think any law is precedent. We've seen things reversed all the time with new evidence and DNA.
That's right.
So I would love to know, you know, if back in 73, if they had a little video of an ultrasound, of, like right at the beginning.
Would they have been able to bring themselves to overturn state restrictions on abortion?
Yes, right. I mean, the beginning of unplanned did it for me. What, yeah. the first 6 minutes, 8 minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
I looked over my shoulder. We were watching, where were we at, Providence?
Yeah, Providence Baptist Church.
Looked
here
over
in
my shoulder, and you could hear a pin drop. You hear a lot of people wiping their noses, and that alone wiped me out.
Yeah.
And what if that was shown in 73?
Face-to-face.
Now, we have new technology now.
That's right.
People thought it was just a simple, let's remove the appendix, let's remove this, let's take care of that. It's the same thing, and it's
yeah.
not the
and it's
same
not,
thing.
No. And that's a great point that you bring up DNA evidence. We use DNA evidence now to throw out all kinds of court cases, decided court cases, people that were found guilty that are then later exonerated by the DNA evidence because we were willing to look at the scientific facts. Now we have the scientific facts. They didn't really have them in 1973. And we'll see. God willing, that'll get before the Supreme Court. And I agree with you. I'm not a there are abolitionists out there that will not agree to any incremental steps in the fight for life and overturning Roe versus Wade. I disagree with them vehemently. And I think every one of these steps is like pulling out another brick from the wall that eventually is going to fall, I believe. But let's make sure the church is ready when we've got all of a sudden legally, they don't have the option for an abortion in many places because I think it'll become a states' rights issue before it would swing back to a federal issue. Then the church has got to be ready. I mean, you guys adopted two children. Yes. Why did you do that?
Well, they needed a home.
Yeah.
But a question I have for you, maybe I'll be wrong on this. I know during the Clinton and Trump debate, the question came up about abortion. And the question was about it being a human. And Hillary responded, well, Roe v. Wade settled that. I don't think that came up in the transcript of the Roe v. Wade hearing.
Humanness, no.
Yes.
They didn't.
So they didn't settle anything except saying you could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she was totally wrong there.
Right.
Because no liberal really wants to deal with the reality. There was a guy, I've been talking about this for about 6 months now, there's a guy that was a PhD student in his final PhD dissertation at the University of Chicago. It took him like 5 years to write it. Mm. And the reason that it was slowed down is because he actually got surveys back from almost 6,000 PhD-level biologists from around the world. And one of the questions he asked them is, when does human life begin? And about 94% of them responded, 94% of them said, well, clearly it begins at conception. Human life begins at conception. Of all the ones, which was several thousand, that responded that were in the United States, over 80% of them self-identified as registered Democrats and pro-choice. Yet they were willing, because they're not science deniers, because they're scientific, we're willing to say, yeah, you know what? The reality is human life begins at conception. Okay, end of story. That's a human life.
Well, they asked that question when we were trying to explore Mars.
Yeah.
And they said, well, anything with a DNA pattern is life.
Is life. Wow. Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah.
It works on Mars, but it doesn't work here. That's because we don't have liberals on Mars, at least not yet. This is Steve Noble with Steve Lewis.
Matt Damon was on there for a movie.
Right, that's true. So I don't know that counts, though. But it's a good thought. We're going to talk about the 2019 stock market and the 2020 stock market. That's Steve's forte. We'll go there when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, turning the corner we were talking about today. January 22nd, 47 years ago, is when Roe versus Wade turned over all the state restrictions and made it the Wild Wild West in terms of abortion. So we should all take a moment when we finish the show today on Facebook Live. We'll pray about that, pray over our nation, pray for our nation, and all of those involved in abortion on both sides of the issue. So let's make sure we keep that in mind. Of course, the Senate hearing is continuing, the impeachment of Donald Trump. I was watching that as much as I could stomach. It's basically a replay right now of everything that happened in the House, except for you get people like Jay Sekulow who gets to step up to the plate and fire back. So it's far more interesting. Once you get to the rebuttal portion, it's far more interesting. So 3 days of that, and then they're trying to work out some rules, and do they want to have other witnesses? They're going to fight their way through it. I don't think this will last any more than 2 weeks, and I don't expect it to end in anything other than an acquittal, unless something bombshell comes out. And who knows? Because Mitch McConnell, even though the Republicans have a majority at 54 in the Senate, he can lose three or four of those votes easily. And you might have John Bolton coming in, and I think John Bolton's gunning for Donald Trump. So this thing is don't assume for 1 second this is all over, because it isn't. We live in a broken world and highly politicized everything. This whole thing has been weaponized, so this isn't going to go down without a fight. So we'll be talking more about it, especially on Friday. We'll get to that. It's going to be there waiting for us. But today, talking to our good friend Steve Lewis, LACapitalAdvisors.com is the website, LACapitalAdvisors.com. So you guys, when we talked to David Fisher, like David Fisher helps us understand things from that particular perspective, and David Fisher helps the Noble family on precious metals, but Steve Lewis helps the Noble family when it comes to the actual stock market. And so these are not people that I just recommend to you guys willy-nilly. This is who helps us, and that's why I would. If they didn't and didn't trust him, didn't know him, didn't like him, he wouldn't be here. But you are here.
Well, you can, you know, we should clear it up that you
please
can
do.
You can acquire gold in a portfolio.
Yeah, sure you can.
You can get it in the form of a fund.
Right.
So there's a lot of silver, gold, palladium, copper exposure you can get through the exchange traded fund world. And if you don't want to carry the physical stuff, you know, so it's
a lot of options.
A lot of options.
Which is important. Okay, so let's talk about the stock market 2019. It was a killer year, really.
It was, but it was highly deviated. The chart that you have
meaning
there,
up and down,
highly deviated. We got a great start in January, then from February all the way through to mid-July, it was just hold your breath. And so until we broke loose from tail end of July, did we see anything smooth. But still, a lot of sectors did go up and down. And but at the end of the day, it was positive, and so it's, you know, it we're all very concerned right now that the profit makers are well past the 200-day moving average where they haven't taken any profits. There isn't one person on Squawk, not anybody that I know personally who
so
are
like
in the
business. Where's kind of that type of correction? Is that what that means?
Well, it's a temporary correction.
Profit takers sell.
Profit takers sell. It's not because of earnings. Or anything like IBM, or Boeing, for example, got downgraded today. If that was a typical stock market day, that would have been enough 15 years ago to pull the whole Dow down.
Right.
But it's not. The Dow was fairly flat today after announcing that the 737 MAX is pretty much going to go by the wayside.
Wow.
And the 777 got announced yesterday as delayed because of technical problems. No one wants.
Ouch.
No one is disclosing what the technical problems
are. Oh, man, that's major.
Good news, IBM came way up over estimates. It's been of the Dow 30, it was one of the lowest performers last year. It pays a terrific dividend, but it's moving into the hybrid cloud space. Tesla up 6% again today, 2 days in a row. Market cap broke $100 billion. They're talking.
So how do we read a company like Tesla? Tesla's been highly backed, a lot of government dollars in there over its lifespan. But how do you look at a company like Tesla?
You look at the owner. the cars haven't been moving that well. They want to come in with lower expensive cars, and now there's competing battery resources that are out there right now. All the cars use the same lithium battery. It's just a matter, is it in a Toyota? Is it in these different makes right now?
Right.
And Tesla just seems to have the whole package, the car. Have you been in a Tesla before?
I've been in one once.
Isn't it amazing?
It is amazing.
Yeah. It's
totally amazing.
Yeah. It does some things that you can't think of that it does.
The tires
are different. You know, it sit there at a temperature.
You get in a car, you don't start it.
Yes.
It's not like this combustion engine that needs to be started. And then you don't hear the engine.
Right.
It's just all of a sudden you're moving along. It's kind of like there's some rides at theme parks that are kind of like that.
Yeah.
You don't really hear anything. All of a sudden you're moving. It's bizarre. And then you have essentially what is a large screen Apple product.
Right.
By the looks of it, is your dashboard, and that's it.
And they can troubleshoot the car from remote.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They'll go in through the diagnostics of the computer, and here's what's going on.
So are you bullish on a company like Tesla long term?
Or is that
so many people coming in?
The trend, you know, it's fine. We have it in our portfolios in certain places, but it's not something that, you know, it could fall real fast, you see. So we can get what we call seeking alpha, where we get the expected returns or actual returns are higher than expected in a multiple different ways, more favorable, more consistent, more predictable than Tesla, for sure. But IT is running the roost again right now as of this morning. Of the S&P up about 3%. Communications is up 6%. Technology is up 6%. Utilities are up 3.5%. And so is industrials. Whereas last year we ended the year IT number 1, communications number 2, industrials number 3, and discretionary.
So overall, what was the overall like Dow and NASDAQ last year? What was their overall gain for the whole year?
You have to define what gain is. Remember, I mentioned about that in the recaps.
If it's at 10% on January 1st, it's on 15% on December 31st, and I look at that and go, that's a 50% gain. 50% over what it was when it started.
Right. Doesn't mean you made 50%.
Because it depends on what you got in and out and all that kind of stuff.
Well, remember, losses are linear. Growth is logarithmic. So if I lose 20% on 100, I'm down to 80,000, right?
Right.
I need about a 25% gain to get the 20
to
back.
Get back. Got it.
So what you see on charts like Yardini, what you see on Yahoo or CNN Money or anything like that, a prospectus given to you from a broker about a fund, it's all point-to-point. Point January 2nd to December, whatever the end of the year trading day was, and it's a point-to-point. Money doesn't move this way. People are very much swayed. Well,
would you say that – are they doing that out of convenience or do you think that's deceptive?
It's both. If I'm trying to sell you a fund, it's
right.
deceptive.
Right.
But we hear on the radio by certain radio personalities that the S&P's averaged 10%. It has not. If you go back to January 2000 through December 31st of this past year, the annualized return, it was in the recap. Did you read it?
No.
Just under 5% a year.
Annualized. So why would somebody like Dave Ramsey say it's 10% every year?
He's taken a point-to-point, and if you say – you take a point-to-point from January 2000 to December 31st, 2019, divide that by the 20 years.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And there's your 10% a year.
Yeah.
But money does not post to your account annually. It's a daily player. And that's really – and that's what's hard. I wrote a Forbes article on it. We have a new Forbes article breaking probably in a couple of weeks. It's – that's probably the biggest problem I have in hearing people talk about gains.
Yeah.
By using these charts like this.
It's overly simplistic.
Yes.
It doesn't account for the deviation that happens in the market.
The only good thing it is for, you can see trend patterns.
Yeah.
Don't get hung up on the up-down percentage.
Well, that's why we need help. That's why somebody like you comes in here to help the rest of us understand it. We're talking to Steve Lewis, LA Capital Advisors, about the stock market last year, this year. What do we have to look forward to? What's going on there? LACapitalAdvisors.com.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10%'s enough, stay away.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We're here today with Steve Lewis, father extraordinaire. Now, why would I say that? LACapitalAdvisors.com, by the way, is Steve's website, LACapitalAdvisors.com. I say father extraordinaire. Not one, not two. I do this every time. Not one, not two, not three, not four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12 children. How many still in the home?
Nine.
Oh, yeah. So, big deal.
Feels like a vacation.
That's shocking.
Timothy is next, man.
Yeah, one at a time. Boom.
Yeah.
Send them up, knock them down, send them out.
Timothy is next.
Now, sooner or later, do you have some kind of a post-nuptial agreement with your kids that one day they're all going to have to take care of you guys? Collectively, it shouldn't be difficult. You got 12 of them. You got 12 lines in the water.
I don't know. I should have signed a prenup with you.
12 lines in the water, you should catch something.
What if I can post, date something?
Is she going to listen to this? You should just stop talking.
She's in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Well, she might be listening to
this.
She
might be watching Facebook Live
on.
Or something. Yeah, see? Let's just stop now. Let's get back to the conversation at hand because I don't want to be responsible for any of that stuff. Anyway, it's great to have you here. Thanks for coming in. So 2019 overall, is it an A? Is it an A minus? Is it a B?
I would give it a B plus. A lot of brick and mortars announced closures. Pier 1, 400 stores,
brutal.
Macy's.
Yep.
And believe it, Pier 1's blaming Wayfair.
They're not blaming Amazon.
They're blaming Wayfair.
Interesting.
So, in fact, I was talking to your sister, Catherine, about that. They're on the phone a couple weeks ago, and they purchased from Wayfair. And so, you go into these stores, Pier 1's expensive.
Very, yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, this.
And now you can buy it online and buy it for less. I don't go anywhere.
And now
it shows up
the confidence
a few days
that
later.
It will come most likely.
Uh-huh.
Perfectly.
Yeah, most of us are over that. Yeah. We don't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
So a B plus, is that what you said, 2019
a B plus? Yeah.
And what do you think 2020 will be?
Oh, the same or better. I think what concerned us a little bit in 2019 is the consumer discretionary sector. See, we had materials and manufacturing were down last year. Everybody a little bit nervous, hence the USMCA, hence phase one of China. So the materials lacked a lot, but the discretionary sector came on back. But the specialty stores were negative. Department stores were down 29%.
Wow, 29%.
Yes. So it's
is that just an online thing? Online's killing the big box stores, and that's just the way it goes.
Yeah,
and it's not going to change.
I think that's good. Yeah, companies don't want to carry the real estate. I was surprised. I don't know if Macy's here in Raleigh, wasn't one that's scheduled to close.
Yeah.
The Pier 1 in Holly Springs isn't scheduled, or Cary scheduled to close. But a lot of them are. I mean, that's a lot of brick, a lot of jobs gone.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Right, right. So, it, you know, it wasn't all roses, for sure, if you glean through this. And if anyone wants a PDF of 19.
Yeah, how can they get that?
Just email me through the website contact, and I'll PDF you 2019. This whole thing here, if you like to look. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, it kind of gives you pattern. Again, go on every day on the website. This is updated daily. Sign on tomorrow morning. You'll get today's month-to-date. And
so that's at LACapitalAdvisors.com.
Right.
And under the Resources tab, you get all that.
Okay. Yes. I mean, you can see highly deviated with, you know, within every sector you have an industry. So you have 11 sectors, 11.
To the whole economy.
And then you have 88 industries underneath those sectors. So you start getting into the weeds.
Yeah.
You see some industries that are very volatile, very volatile.
Yeah, because this is interesting. I'm looking from the S&P 500. This is from last year. And so you got consumer staples sector.
There you go. Yeah.
You go, okay. Well, you got underneath that, consumer staples sector, brewers, soft drinks, tobacco, household products, personal products, and drug retail. So there's a lot going on in
drug retail, -14%.
Yeah, that's brutal.
But personal products, 62.
What? Give me an example of a personal product.
Procter and Gamble.
Yeah. So
it's a personal product. It's a staple.
Toothpaste, shampoo.
Clorox. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stuff that you use around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
Yeah. I think Folgers, coffee, things like that is the staples. But yeah, but the drug was down. That was interesting, though. Yeah, drug retail was down. You know, so
any particular sectors of the economy this year that either would make you nervous or would make you optimistic?
Retail, real estate, and it started to go wane last year, and utilities. Utilities is always short term. We're in the winter. Utilities are
right.
up and running.
They're up in the winter,
and then they'll flatten out, you know, and just go down. It's a cycle. You know, discretionary is the train that pilots our economy. It's people spending money on a lot of things. It doesn't require materials. So materials is more manufacturing. It goes all the way through John Deere, Caterpillar, a host of things, buildings, and so forth. And home building, the quality of those homes are really questionable in the internal data that we see.
Hmm.
They're very close together. I've got several clients who actually are inspectors. Now they're hired by a home.
What does that matter to us as investors, though? Why do I care? Why do I care if the house is any good or not? If they're selling and making money and their stock's going up. I mean, I'm just talking.
Yeah, I mean, XHB, the home builder ETF, did well, but it really hit a dark spot earlier in the year, last year. So it's all about returns and numbers and continuing to do so. Because now we're at a point where did you beat last quarter? Did you beat the quarter before?
Right.
What's your estimates now? Did you meet those? So when they miss them, they recorrect them intentionally lower.
Right.
So
trying to manage the market.
Helen Keller could beat it the next quarter.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's crazy.
So they can beat that. So that's all intentional. Like IBM, you know, did nothing special, you know, but they beat it because they did some cutting and did some, you know, hard software. Right now in IT is the place to go. Software.
What about the Trump factor and all this? The impeachment factor and China factor?
No one cares.
What do you mean no one?
No one cares about what's going on the impeachment side.
Yeah, impeachment's a nothing burger in terms of the market.
The phase two of the China deal is really where Mnuchin mentioned that last week. He did a good Q&A.
Yeah,
Kudlow always does great Q&As.
Kudlow at who's
his
in the cabinet now? Yeah,
yeah, his
economic advisor.
Yeah, he is so much fun. He can sway a market in the 30 minutes he does Q&A.
yeah, but Trump can sway a market with one tweet.
Yeah, and he hasn't swayed it lately by doing that.
He hasn't done that in a while.
Yeah, so, and the Fed's laid off the interest rates for a while, and I think we just kind of just let them play. But your healthcare's rising up in the last 30 days.
What about all the money that the Fed's pumping into the economy? Do you think like that? Does a investment advisor dealing with the stock market think about all the propping up that our federal government's doing? Because it's essentially QE4. They're just not calling it that.
Well, the labor numbers are based on non-farm payrolls, so it's trying to be as transparent as it. But it does include, you know, government hired positions.
Yeah,
but he has, according to some sources, not all of them, that he has retracted the employment by consolidating agencies. So it doesn't move these too much. You know, good numbers last month, I think, and so it was 244. Far, you know, it was above expectations.
Yeah, you're talking about job numbers.
Job numbers.
But what about the Fed pumping money into the economy?
That's the Keynesian style. I mean, Reagan was about a 50-50. I mean, he was big Art Laffer.
So we're kind of like free market, but we're also monkeying with the market through
yes.
the Fed.
Oh, yeah. You can manipulate it through.
Because we don't live in a free market society. Not really.
No. You can. The government can pump money in and grossly affect the true numbers by just, well, infrastructure. If they pass an infrastructure bill.
Yeah, $1 trillion.
That, you know, through highways and everything, that will just be huge. That would be huge.
Huge in what direction for the stock market?
Well, employment. The numbers will just get even, you know, the participation will go yeah. higher and the unemployment will go.
And it's going to help the sectors that are involved.
It'll help the communities, especially through the Midwest, a host of things like that. And, you know, with an asset manager, you don't worry about what you're asking me. You worry about the trends that we see.
Yeah.
A buy and hold person has to worry about, you asked the question about Tesla being long term.
Yeah.
Okay. Is you know, we don't believe in long term. You know us. We move, our turnover ratio is quite high. So we're looking for trend lines. And we don't care what the symbol is.
Yeah.
Or what the, you know, the ex dividend is. We just want the trend line to get that.
So you're looking at hard numbers, not emotional decisions.
Yeah, we don't look
at it. Do you care about the national debt from an investment perspective?
No.
Yeah, because everything's more short-term.
Mm-hmm. Right. And as long as we continue to print our own currency.
And just to clarify, you care about the national debt as a Christian and as a citizen of the country. But when it comes to buying and selling commodity stocks, ETFs, whatever tool you want to use, mm-hmm. then it's really not a factor.
No.
Because you're dealing with the immediate, not the long-term.
It's not. What I watch on Squawk, I just find it a lot of waste of time. A lot of these publications we get, you know, we subscribe to, comes in the office every day, and a lot of the Wall Street Journal stuff. Now, that stuff doesn't really matter to us because we're looking for trend lines.
Yeah.
And we don't care about what the company's doing. Now, we know when they're going to announce earnings. We look at those types of things depending on if we're going to buy in on that or so forth, where our trail stops, you know, right here are going to be planted at. This is what a trail stop is here.
All right, so let's talk about that. We're going to hit a break here in about 30 seconds because I want everybody to understand kind of some of the terminology that you're using. So a trail stop is if the stock goes down 5% on any given day, mm-hmm. I mean, it's built into the system that it'll sell.
Whatever the client wants to retain as an earning. So in this client here, that's why I'm not going to put it on the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
They want a 5-7% retention.
So they're willing to lose 5-7% on that stock.
So we.
But if I start going south of 5-7%, I want out.
It's already gone.
Yeah.
And it's in the cash position. Yeah.
Right. So it moves right up. Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about that more in terms of kind of good strategies. And then we'll continue to talk about what's going to happen here in 2020 and how do we react to that as regular investors, because most of us aren't nearly as expert as Steve is. But that's why he's here today. Steve Lewis, LA Capital Advisors. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. We have not been raptured. Thanks for busting my bubble there, Steve O. Lewis. This is Steve Noble. Welcome back to the show.
I was worried where I was here.
I know. I'm like, what am I doing here?
Surprised to see you.
I missed the rapture, and I'm now at a campus. I'm at a Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and I better run around campus since I missed the rapture. I better not find many people here on campus that missed the rapture as well. If you believe in the rapture, are you a pre-trib guy?
I was, but after seeing you a moment ago, I got worried. I thought I was a post-tribber there for a moment.
Wow.
I thought, oh my goodness.
We're just going to roll right into Theology Thursday with Steve Lewis.
Why not?
LACapitalAdvisors.com,
that
by the way,
is his website. That would be an interesting show.
Yes, of course it would. LACapitalAdvisors.com with my good friend Steve Lewis, who helps the Noble family when it comes to regular stock type investments. And so we've been friends for years, and Steve's been in this industry for a while. And you're
18 this year.
Way smarter than the average bear. Half the time that I'm talking, I don't have a clue what you're saying. But I don't have to, because I trust you, and we've done just fine. So I've been pleased. But I'm like, you lost me. But isn't that, what do we learn from that? We should stop. If you've got an investment advisor, broker, whatever, if you don't understand what they're telling you, we should probably stop and ask, shouldn't we? Do you think we need to be more involved in our investments today than we were 15 years ago?
Absolutely.
Yep. Why?
Well, because I know a lot about it. I kind of, you know, the Forbes piece that I have coming out kind of alludes to a portion of it. But
you have a title for that piece, that Forbes piece?
They are, it's not official yet, but But it's just versus asset manager versus asset gatherers. And it's the gatherers that we have the problem with.
Yeah.
And in my industry, it's unfortunate, and it could be in other industries, that if it's legal, it's ethical.
Then they do it.
Then they do it. A lot of double dipping out there. We see a lot of double dipping.
Define double dipping.
Oh, a financial consultant can wear many different hats, i.e. their licenses. They can do a lot of things. But they don't tell the client when they're taking off hat one and putting on hat two. What is very common now is the hybrid, where they are an advisor like me, where they can charge hourly, bill you for services, a lot of different things, financial planning services. And then I take those assets because you like me so much, and I put them on a broker platform, and I got a commission on all those purchases of mutual funds.
So you got to ask that question. How does your advisor broker make money?
So I'm charging you 1% on the assets in play in the plan, which is a lot, and I'm getting paid commission on the same assets over here.
Yeah.
So you have two regulators overseeing this person. So when he's audited by one, they won't look at the other side, and the other side will not look at the other side. And that registration's up 333% in 5 years.
Really?
And people tell me, I challenge them, why are you doing it? And I get the same answer.
What do they tell you?
It's easy money.
Wow.
So we wrote that in a piece.
And not necessarily at all good for the client.
No. Well, the client doesn't know. They think they're only getting charged financial planning, when in fact he's getting hooked for 1% or more on the other
side. And those are up how much in the last 5 years?
333%.
People that are signing up and getting...
Yeah, they're carrying a broker license and an advisor license.
And an advisor license.
Yes.
So they're playing both sides.
They're playing both sides.
Wow.
It's legal. That's the problem.
Right, which means it's fine, right? Like killing babies.
Correct. I mean, if he's getting commission, the planning should be free. Because there's really nothing to planning. We have the software.
Yeah.
You know how you go online, you do your taxes right now?
Yeah.
You just answer these questions, you hit print. This beautiful TurboTax return comes out.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, it looks like a CPA did.
Listen, I was so intimidated just adding capital gains or losses in. But now with TurboTax, it connects with TD Ameritrade.
It does.
And I just get the login information correct.
And it pulls it all out.
And then whammo.
It's there.
Literally, in a couple of seconds, it's all there.
Right.
With the bottom line, up or down. I'm like, I remember years ago doing that by hand.
Right.
Getting all these different reports in and then sitting there go, okay, here's this holding, bought it, sold it. Okay, this shows a gain, this shows a loss. Now it's just bada bing.
Right.
So now you're saying planning is kind of like that.
Well, we answer the questions. It goes on nice linen paper on an embroidered little binder. It looks great.
Boom.
And some are charging $3,500 up front for the thing.
Wow.
Or they'll charge 1% a year for it.
What percentage of people that you talk to client-wise is that they're all of a sudden normal investors out here? Okay, me, normal people. Normal. What percentage of us are clueless when it comes to that kind of stuff going on? Just a guess.
Oh, probably close to 99%.
Almost everybody's clueless.
Yeah.
Wow.
I met with a guy who was a large estate, and he wanted me to review it. I took it to two of our affiliated firms also, so three of us looked at it.
Yeah.
We had the same answer. He was getting hoodwinked for about $83,000 of additional fees, and he just said, well, this guy wouldn't do that to me. And he's still with him. And he wanted me to...
Understand the thing that I teach in both my government class and my ethics class for high school students. It starts with this, it ends with this, and this shows up all throughout.
Right.
It's called human depravity.
Right. Well, a lot of the higher net worth we see is that they're not even allowed to log in and see their stuff. They get statements every month from all these different fund players, and it's by design.
Am I up or down? That's what they're looking at.
Right. And so they have to put their own stuff in their Excel spreadsheet so they can see if they're up or down.
All right. So give everybody listening a couple of questions that we should be asking our broker/advisor right off the bat to find out whether we're being hoodwinked or not.
Total expenses that I am going to be paying, directly or indirectly.
Total expenses that I'm paying, directly or indirectly.
Correct. So if you have a mutual fund and it's going to charge an annual expense of 0.8, but the advisor is going to charge me 1.35 on managing a group of mutual funds that are averaging a 0.8 internal fee, do the math on that. That's over 2%.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what you need to know.
Ouch.
So, but they don't tell you what the expense of the fund is. Oh, my management fee is 1.3. That sounds pretty good. It's well below average now. But you're getting kicked. You know, that's why the ETF exchange rate.
When you ask them that question, are they obligated by law as your advisor broker?
Yes.
To answer that honestly?
If they ask it, you have to answer it. Now, investment advisors have to disclose all of that. Brokers do not have to disclose that. Insurance agents do not have to disclose what the commissions are. They don't have to tell you any conflicts of interest. So is there an incentive for me to put you in this fund?
Wasn't there a legislative issue along these lines a couple years ago? I know Dave Ramsey was involved with it.
Department of Labor was going to mandate any consultant that consults on an entire retirement plan, whether it be a Roth or any IRA or anything. They then must act in the client's best interest. Well,
fiduciary.
A fiduciary standard. The only ones legally are the investment advisors. They have to, but brokers do not. So if an insurance guy is selling you an annuity and it's going to get him a trip to Rome and there's three that are far better for you,
yeah,
he doesn't have to disclose that information. And that's what's sad. And it's
Am I remembering that correctly? Did the Godfather come out against that? When I say Godfather,
he restructured the way he works with his ELPs. Because
that's his network of investors.
ELPs had to pay him.
That he recommends.
Had to pay him. So now he's charging his ELPs a monthly marketing fee as an expense. And it ranges from, I talked to one, $200 to $600 or $700 a month. And they're supposed to get leads from the show.
So it would appear that for you, and this is definitely true for me, that Dave Ramsey is not the fourth member of the Trinity.
No, but the thing is that he's not a financial, he's never been a financial professional.
Right, yeah.
But those who work with ALPs would have to disclose
sure.
that a portion of these fees go to Ramsey. And American funds that he really supports, because he mentioned these growth stock mutual funds, it's American funds. American funds would have to disclose the relationship with Ramsey as well.
Oh, boy, yeah.
See, everything would have to be disclosed.
Yeah.
So everything was...
They don't want that.
Right. Anyway, the Department of Labor lost because they're not the overseer of IRAs anyway. Only 401Ks, 403B plans, corporate plans. So we knew out of the gate that they're not the regulator. So... But it was a good attempt. It's one thing I applauded the Obama administration on because there's not enough disclosure.
Yeah.
There's so much not enough disclosure.
Very little transparency.
Yes.
Which is kind of scary. Okay, so we got about 2 minutes left. So in terms of 2020, looking forward the rest of the year.
Does that mean I'm not coming back until 2021?
No, you can come back sooner. Just ask. It's really all you have to do. It doesn't take a whole lot. But you're going to sit around and wait for me to ask you, right?
Well, I like to feel wanted.
You are wanted. Jeez. Okay, just answer the question.
You come over for my wife's enchiladas, but I can't come
Which are the best stinking enchiladas
Listen, your
on the
ratings
planet.
Go up when I'm here. What, 50 times when I'm on the show.
I need to remember that. Okay, answer the question, please.
What?
2020, the rest of the year, pitfalls, things that, what should be our basic
we still need
mindset?
We need to look at trend lines with labor. I mean, 3%. I mean,
the unemployment's radically low. We're at full employment.
I think the wages are slowly they've been going up since he started. The left will say they're not good enough, but they're going up. I think wages need to continue to go. Eli Lilly announced a big project here. It's going to employ 400 jobs here in North Carolina, and the average salary will be about $72,000.
Wow, that's a big deal.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. That's a good wage boost for the state and for the country. I would look at wages, continued employment numbers, really the discretionary sector we always look at first. Where in that, and there's...
Because that's telling us how people are spending their money.
Right, there's 23 industries in that sector.
Wow.
We really want to know, are people comfortable spending? But if people start getting fidgety about layoffs and I'm a little bit insecure, these little things
you need
like
to pay
that,
attention to that.
They're going to buckle up and not spend.
And then tell us again, what's the easiest way to get that information with the Yardini and everything? Because I know they can get that on your website.
Yeah, lacapitaladvisors.com, lacapitaladvisors.com. Go to all the way to the right resources tab. It'll fall the drop down. And then go all the way to the bottom. It says Yardini Research and Performance.
Plus the phone number's there. Your email is there.
Helps all
that. And then the other thing, you can do a what's the report that kind of looks at what your investments are in, how much you're paying?
A Morningstar.
A Morningstar report. And how much something like that costs?
No charge. If they want us to run one on what they have, we can email it to them.
So it's basically a report card, which will also then tell you how much are you paying.
Well, how much you're paying and where are you currently in the market. Yeah.
Super important. LACapitalAdvisors.com. LACapitalAdvisors.com, which I highly recommend, and that's why.